Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Diane Lemberson, licensed clinical social worker, joined HBU in August of 2019 as the first director of the Gideon Institute Counseling Center. She's responsible for launching and growing the Counseling Center to provide Christ-centered, biblically rooted, and clinically informed counseling, not only to HBU students, but eventually the community as well. Diane is a licensed clinical social worker who's worked with adults and children's in a variety of settings for 25 years. She's a Texan, she knows Houston, and we welcome you today to HBU.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
The Gideon Institute, this is a really marvelous outreach. I'm so excited about it.
It is incredibly exciting. I can't tell you what a luxury and what a blessing it is to be able to work at such a fabulous institution like HBU, first of all, but to be able to develop a Master's of Arts in Christian Counseling and a Master's of Arts in Christian Psychology program. Both of those programs, academic programs, for students who want to learn how to practice Christian psychology in a Christ-centered, biblically rooted, and clinically informed way in our community. It's so vital these days.
It is. I mean, and you know, Dr. Johnson is, Eric Johnson has distinguished mm-hmm. himself all over the country, and of course, he is here as well.
Yes.
A lot of people say Christian psychology like they're mm-hmm. oxymorons, and they're not.
No, they really
aren't. Can you dispel that myth that this kind of sola scriptura, oh, you just get a Bible verse and don't ever admit that you have any kind of problem and you'll be okay?
Well, I think the best example of that would be Paul.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you read the Word, whenever you read the Bible, you'll see how many people can you think of, if you're familiar with Scripture, or if you're not, take a look. There are so many people who struggled and suffered and shared genuinely their struggles and pains and trials in this world. And Paul talks about that we should rejoice in our sufferings because that's what brings us closer to Christ. And throughout history, one of the primary places where people received care for their souls, you know, prior to psychology kind of being a term in modern times, was through the church, was through faith, was through the healing of the great physician, mm-hmm. through God. So they're not opposed to each other in any way. It is a unique way of looking at psychology versus other places. But it's very important to know that we don't have to have all the solutions ourselves, mm-hmm. that the healing comes through our connection with Christ and our identity with God. And to be able to integrate that into what we're doing in a counseling session when we're talking about depression or anxiety or what's going on in your marriage or test anxiety, the struggles of growing up, the struggles of being a freshman at HBU and mm-hmm. having to transition to living by yourself for the first time, all of these things, to be able to have a Christ-centered perspective on that and to know that God is with you with the trials that we go through in these lives, because there will be trials. We will face challenges in this world. And so to be able to integrate that in with all the wonderful information that we have from psychological research, to be able to bring those together into a true unity of Christianity and psychology is such an incredible privilege. I can't tell you how unique this program is and how special it is. I don't think there's anything else like it. And when I was going to graduate school, I would have given anything to be able to go through this program. So it is such an honor to work with Dr. Johnson, and it is such an honor to be able to be here and be a part of this ministry and to be able to develop this program so that our students can train in our counseling center and learn how to responsibly and be clinically informed Christ-centered therapists out in the world.
Let's talk about the Gideon Institute Counseling mm-hmm. Center. You're the mm-hmm. first director. It yes. is right here at Houston Baptist University, but it's mm-hmm. not restricted to just students at Houston Baptist University.
Yes.
It's open to the community.
Our goal is to be open to the community, yes. We are working to develop out our center right now, and our goal is to provide services to the community, because I appreciate HBU's mission and the Gideon Institute's mission, that not only do we want to serve our students here at HBU, but we also want to serve the community as well. We're a part of the Houston, you know, the Houston community. So being able to serve our neighbor, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to be able to offer this to the community is going to be an invaluable resource and a great beacon for other counseling centers to model after.
Sure. Diane, tell me, how did the Gideon Institute Counseling Center actually happen at HBU? I know Dr. Johnson has been with us, and you know, to have someone distinguished like that as leading is just remarkable for HBU.
Yes.
How did it happen?
I think it came together when some very generous donors approached HBU with this idea, because their experience and experience of friends that they have known were not able to find in the Houston community or in other places. They've heard from other people that it's challenging to find counseling for family during trying times that is Christ-centered and clinically informed, that has both of those pieces of Christian and psychology together. And of course, Dr. Johnson is one of the leading experts in that area. He's really been a pioneer in his writings, in his books about these things. So to have this opportunity to fund the Institute and HBU's enthusiastic support of it has created this opportunity to bring Dr. Johnson here, to bring Dr. Michael Cook here from Indiana, who's a fabulous professor that we have on staff, and the opportunity for me to be able to develop out a counseling center that's really a training clinic as well, so that our graduate students will have an opportunity. If you are a graduate student in one of these programs at the Gideon Institute, you're going to be able to train and work with the community and be able to practice clinical psychology as part of your internship in our counseling center. It's an exciting thing to be able to teach and to serve at the same time.
I see that. And you know, the training component kind of in the real world is desperately needed. The CDC has said this uptick 18 to 24 in suicidal ideation, suicidal completion, skyrocketing. I mean, it's happening, you know, in a this demographic is a challenging demographic, as you know.
Yes.
And for some of them, they have it all together, and they've been trained well. They've had healthy people model for them.
Sure.
But not everybody's had that.
No.
And there's obviously many different contributors, as you know. Let's talk about the degrees you mentioned, the curriculum, and how it intersects with Gideon. What are those specific degrees that are available or courses that will be developed through Gideon or obviously the contribution of the Gideon Institute Counseling Center?
Right, because I think, like you mentioned, with everybody in the community, all of us, as we walk through life, I like to say we all have different starting lines. You know, some of us have a starting line in a stable home with loving parents, and that's kind of your starting line. Maybe there's financial ability to pay for college and all those kinds of things, so you kind of have a starting line that's in a really good place. But we all have different starting lines, and we all have adversities that we hit as we're growing up, as adults, things that we encounter in our marriage and with our children, with our careers, in school. So we all have those different starting lines that we're coming from based on our experiences. And so, you know, the challenge is moving forward, how do you successfully make it through school? How do you stay connected in the community? And like you said, with our young people, having the challenge of living in a society that is so digitally connected, but not person connected.
Yeah, I think the APA just several months ago talked about this whole social media world and the adverse effect it's having. There's been more than one study, a report about the high depression
Yeah.
These kids, many of them, how many likes they get a day is how they feel about life. I mean, Facebook's reconsidering taking likes out of the whole platform because of the whole psychological component. I mean, if you would have told me growing up that someone would be on their device, I listened to the Cosmopolitan editor the other day on a podcast. She's 32. And she says that young people are spending nearly 7 hours a day on their device. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, do the math, 8 hours of sleep, 7 hours. What in the world is going on?
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. And the one thing that there have been studies, like you said, that have shown is that there's this increase in anxiety that we're seeing in our young people, this increase in depression, this increase in anxiety seems to kind of only correlate with increase in interconnectivity and social media. Mm-hmm. And it's creating, you end up comparing your insides to other people's outsides because we see the smiling face, the selfie,
the perfect view. Anything that looks bad.
Exactly. And so there can be that idea of affirmation and things coming from these devices, but you lose that human connection. And so it's reestablishing those person-to-person connections that's so important. And I know you also mentioned our degree programs.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
And I want to go back to that as well.
Appreciate
yes,
that.
Because I know it's kind of both are so important. I love the whole topic.
Mm-hmm.
In our degree programs, you have a Master's of Arts in Christian Counseling.
Okay.
And you have a Master's of Arts in Christian Psychology. So both are challenging programs. They're slightly different. They have a slightly different focus. A Master's of Arts in Christian Counseling is going to give you your ethics and all of your professional that you need and all the informed psychological, clinically informed piece that you need. But there's also classes like spiritual formation, spiritual direction, looking at how to be able to critically look at psychological theory and see how it matches up with God's Word. And how do you utilize that in a way that is biblically rooted and clinically informed at the same time? So being able to merge those two while still getting ethics and the quality clinical practice that you want, but being able to bring your faith with it and not leave it at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a vital thing. And in our Christian Masters of Arts, Masters of Arts in Christian Counseling students, once they graduate, they can go on to get a licensure that's called Licensed Professional Counselor, which a lot of practitioners in the state of Texas and across the country utilize to be able to see people in counseling.
Is that your distinction there?
I am a licensed master social or a licensed clinical social worker.
Gotcha.
So we're very similar to licensed professional counselors, but my master's degree is in social work.
Okay.
So that is one of my first loves. So the Master's of Arts in Christian Psychology program is looking to focus on possibly going towards a licensed psychological associate licensure. So there's an opportunity there to also get into psychological testing and evaluation, which is a unique specialization that's kind of folded into that master's degree. So it's a kind of more psychological, there's kind of a little bit more psychological theory versus counseling theory.
Mm-hmm.
So both programs are very complementary, but also, and have some courses that intersect, but kind of gives you a way to go to specialize down in different areas, different parts of the field, basically. So you kind of have a choice about which part of the field that you may be most interested in or best fit your gifts, best fit what God is calling you to do.
Sure.
To serve.
And for those who ask, well, okay, the cost of an education, what am I getting out of it? What job is it going to give me? How much money am I going to make? Mm-hmm. What would be the jobs with those two degrees and the opportunity for having a career, a vocational career that could pay the bills, et cetera?
Right. There are so many opportunities, I think. Psychological testing, for example, the ability to be able to do testing for psychological issues, to be able to do that. A lot of people do choose to eventually, when they're working with people in counseling, there's opportunities for church ministry. There's opportunities to work. Many of our larger church congregations here in Houston have their own counseling centers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for Christian counselors to work in their counseling centers. So it's a way, it's an opportunity to serve in ministry, if that is your preference. I think it's also an opportunity to serve in private practice, to be able to create your own counseling practice and be able to have hang your own shingle on the door after you get your licensure, and be able to provide this service to the community, which is one of the goals of the Institute, is for people to, for people in the community who want Christ-centered, clinically informed counseling, to be able to get it from practitioners in the community, whether it's in private practice, through a church ministry. There's also opportunities in private schools for school counselors. Mm-hmm. There's opportunities, in our Christian parochial schools, in many different places. And there are also secular jobs where I think...
What would be those secular jobs?
Different things, like, for example, counseling opportunities, for example, at hospitals. Mm-hmm. MD Anderson is one place that has a lot of counseling, of course, for people who are struggling with cancer and their family members. So in hospital settings, in school settings, in lots of different day programs, depending on which populations, or even prison ministries, prison counseling programs. There are lots of different places to serve, not to mention at-risk youth, homeless population. It just depends on our senior citizens.
You know, highest many, age group many, per capita that
yes,
take their life.
Exactly. So there's lots of people that are in need of help and support. I've seen counselors that work at independent living communities, assisted mm-hmm. living communities, in skilled nursing facilities. There's opportunities within hospice, grief and loss,
wow.
and people who are ending the end of their journey here in life or with their family members after someone dies. So there are lots of ways to meet people who are going through some struggle in one form or another.
That gives a lot of insight to the plethora of jobs.
Definitely.
With these type of degrees,
mm-hmm.
it shows just how important the Gideon Institute Counseling Center is at HBU. And we want to just remind you that you can get more information by going to hbu.edu/Gideon.
Yes.
And of course, students who really want to make a difference, I will tell you that I've served as a pastor, and there's no way in the world I could have ever got to all the people that wanted to talk to me about mm-hmm. the problems in their life,
mm-hmm.
The problems of their kids, the problems of their marriage.
Yes.
And I think this is a special area that's not only needed, but it needs expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have someone who's not properly trained, it can be very destructive.
It can be. And also, I know I've, made wonderful relationships with a number of pastors in the community, and they always, and my pastors will still email me or call me and be like, hey, do you know somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there are many people in ministry who are looking for people they can trust.
Sure.
Who can I trust? You know, the main person, when somebody is struggling with their marriage or with a problem that they're having in their life, they don't come see me. I'll be honest, they go to their pastor.
Oh yeah.
They go to their
number one person
they go to is to their clergy, is to their faith leader. So to be able to be a resource and to be able to be available for pastors to have people that you can trust to refer to is a wonderful thing. It's a blessed
and
thing.
Likewise,
it's vital.
It's important for us to help people understand there is no pastor mm-hmm. who could ever get to everyone that wants to see them. There's no associate. It's just impossible.
Well, yeah, and I know that I've worked a lot with pastors who, because a pastor is a different job. It's a different vocation.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different pieces to it. There's hospital visitations. There's sermons. There's Bible study. There's teaching. There's preaching. There's so many different things to do. And to minister to the congregation and to evangelize. So there are so many different pieces to the vocation of being a pastor. And the vocation of being a Christ-centered therapist is a different vocation. And they both complement each other, just like God calls us according to our gifts to do different things. They complement each other very well. And I know in my work with clients in therapy, I have often collaborated with their pastor. And if a client gives me permission to speak with their pastor, I may have a client who comes to see me, And we will be discussing sure, things and talking from things from a Christ-centered perspective, from a psychological perspective. And then when they go and meet with their pastor, I can touch base with their pastor and say, hey, these are, you know, the struggles that we're having, this person is having, but here's some things we talked about, and maybe you can bring the pastoral side, the scripture, the teaching, and kind of that individual ministering and preaching that will complement what I'm doing.
Sure.
And ultimately, that builds people up, and that's how we work as the body of Christ to support people, because that's what we should do.
Absolutely. We're deeply grateful at HBU for this wonderful donor couple that began the vision of the Gideon Institute Counseling Center. So many people will be helped. And when you help people get healthy, Christy and I are interfacing right now with a couple that's tragically going through divorce. And you know, it's not just them. The ring goes out, the kids, everybody. We want to keep families together. We want to keep moms and dads focused, and it's not if you're going to have a problem, it's when. And guess what, there's a solution, there's people who care, and thank God there are people getting trained at HBU in this area, led by Dr. Eric Johnson, Diane Lamberson, and all their colleagues. Go to hbu.edu/Gideon, learn more about it, and you can call admissions at 281-649-3211. And remember this, a caring couple made this thing happen. They got the vision, and now good things are happening. It's a reminder to all of us that God has made us a channel. We don't own anything. We're just managers. And so when we remember God owns it, then we take our hands off of it, and we become a channel to give. I hope you'll consider HBU and your giving at hbu.edu/giving. Diane, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
It's going to be exciting to see all the good things that happen.
Oh, it's amazing.
And,
it's awesome.
We're very, very excited about the Gideon Institute Counseling Center.
Thank you so much.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.